Hey, everybody, welcome into Hoop Talks. I am very excited to be joined today by Christina Williams. She is the founder of Girls Talk Sports TV, a WNBA insider on the Betting Exchange. She's very much involved in the world of women's basketball. I kind of like to call her the Woj of the WNBA, but better because it is the WNBA and she does a really great job at being a newsbreaker. But Christina, hi, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. Truly appreciate it.
Of course.
Thanks for that intro. That intro was...
I always love to intro my guests like that because I always love everybody that comes on the show with me. And you deserve a very nice intro. So we just had a very busy offseason in the WNBA. I know you were busy. And as somebody who breaks news in this space, what was that like for you?
It's always a busy season whenever free agency comes around. I love all the hype around free agency. Like, fans, they're loyal to their insiders. So you have people who follow me, Rachel or Howard, for the breaking news. So I don't know. It's I get an adrenaline rush whenever that period comes around. It's exciting that for women's sports that, you know, fans are tuning in the off season, when free agency comes around, it shows that there's an interest, and that people should invest in the coverage. So, I absolutely love breaking the off season news. And then as a Black woman, it means something to me to be one of the only Black women in this space, in the W space, to be breaking that news, in terms of representation. So I'm happy and grateful to be a part of that community.
Absolutely. And I feel like it is a great way to get more fans engaged in the off season and get even new fans, because you have, especially in this off season where you had a couple of big blockbuster names make really big moves. I feel like that was a good way to attract a lot more attention, and a lot more attention on the creators in the space that are working really hard like you are. And then also, it was kind of around the same time that Athletes Unlimited was happening. I know you're a host with them. I wanted to ask you, I know you're super involved with them. What are some of the things that you think people should take away from that league as another league in addition to the WNBA?
Yeah, I mean, it was my second season with Athletes Unlimited. And this season, I had the opportunity to host the Athletes Unlimited preview show alongside Savannah Collins. Shout out to Savannah. I think that people can take away that this league is not in competition with the W. It's definitely a league that is complementary of a W. And it's an opportunity for athletes in the league, but also athletes outside of the league, to just play basketball and grow the game in that way. I love the fantasy league aspect of Athletes Unlimited. And I also like how much the league invests in its players in terms of giving them a voice. The player committee, with Tosh Cloud, Ty Young, Lexi Brown, Kirby Burkholder, all those women, like, the players have a voice in that league. And, they facilitate a lot of stuff on the business end and on and off the court. And so I like that aspect of it. I love that they play for charity. They have top tier staff, and in terms of game day presentation and entertainment, is top tier as well. But from a creator standpoint, I also like that, you know, they collaborate and invest in creators, creators of color. That's like my heart in terms of, you know, growing the game and providing opportunities for all people. And so I like that Athletes Unlimited, you know, they really do that in this league. And just watching the game grow here in the United States and giving women that opportunity to continue to play the game that they love. And so if you haven't watched AU Hoops, I'm pretty sure you can go on YouTube and catch some of the games from this past year and also from last year. But yeah, it's a top tier league, and I'm excited to see that league continue to grow.
Yeah, and it's also really nice because I think some games got broadcasted on League Pass this year too, really nice, because that kind of shows that it's more of like a, like you said, like, it's not a competition, like, we are working together. So it's always really nice to have more women's basketball on whenever you can catch it. Absolutely. But let's move to the upcoming WNBA season. You've been at the New York Liberty training camp, I think pretty much like every single day this week. I've loved seeing your coverage. I'm sure that's been very busy. What have the vibes been like at camp?
The vibes at camp here in New York City has definitely been great. Yesterday was the first time, actually, that all of the players were present at camp at once. The first thing that I noticed on Monday when I attended camp was that One, Courtney Vandersloot was under concussion protocols. She had a collision in a scrimmage during that game, during training camp on Monday, sorry. And she is now on concussion protocols. And then Stewie was still getting cleared. And then Epiphany Prince, you know, she missed a few days because she had was recovering from an illness. And so it was great to see all of the players in camp yesterday, to get to speak to them, to talk about their off seasons. And you're just seeing the leadership and the growth of some of the returning players as well. I had an opportunity to talk to Sabrina, and she told me that she was in the gym 5 days a week from the end of last season until training camp. Wow. Just working on her game and just wanted to get better. Just realizing, you know, some of her weaknesses and just wanted to get better defensively. And I talked to Coach Sandy, and she told me that, you know, going into next season, she really wants the Liberty to focus on the defensive end. She talked about how she wants to build that identity within this group of players, and, you know, preached high on Kayla Thornton, Benaja Laney, Dee Dee Richards, some of those defensive players for the Liberty, were saying, you know, we're going to be a great offensive team. We understand that the pressure is on us to win. And so that just seems, that was just the mood. Like, everyone is on the same page, from the players to the coaching staff to the GMs at camp, and just wanted to get better on both ends of the ball, but especially on defense. And so I'm excited for the Liberty this season and what's to come.
Yeah, I really like that, because we do know that this Liberty squad can score in many different ways with the players that they've assembled together. So it's going to be really about being complete on the defensive side as well. And we do have, like, former defensive players of the year on the squad now. And like you mentioned, Kayla Thornton, Benaja Laney, all these players can play really good defense. I'm wondering, because I saw yesterday Miles Ehrlich posted that Dee Dee was like running around, like taking photos of everyone. And she was like, add me to the media list. I'm wondering, like, what kind of fun things have you seen like that in camp so far?
Yeah, so that was just one of the things that was happening. Dee Dee is such a personality. They gave her a camera yesterday to do some behind the scenes day in the life footage. So she was doing her thing on the blogging end, and she really loved it. And another thing, Kayla Thornton, some of the anecdotes that I've seen through campus, she has nicknames for all of her teammates. And so she's like, I'm still learning the names, but, you know, she said she calls Morgan Green Lakeisha, because she's like, she just looks like a Lakeisha. And it's just like so fun to see them try to build chemistry in that way as they're getting to know one another. And so it's just great vibes, great energy. Sika Kone, she's here in the United States. Her eyes lit up when I was asking her about some of her role models growing up. And she spoke highly of being able to play with Jonquel Jones, someone she watched on YouTube, and just throughout her time overseas playing, and how she's excited just to be in this league. She told me that she looked up to Candace Parker as well. So just hearing those stories, Epiphany Prince, she's from New York City. I'm from New York City. So I was like, welcome back home. Like, New York legend Epiphany Prince had a storied high school career, college career, now back in New York City, playing in her hometown in Brooklyn. And so she just talked about, you know, just that being here at this level of her career, just being excited to be back home. So you're hearing great stories from camp, and just, you know, they're building the team chemistry from the ground up. And it's a lot of fun just to sit and observe and watch them as they go.
Absolutely. I joined one of the Liberty Zoom medias this week with Benaja and Kayla Thornton, and it feels like those two are going to be really good friends just based on the vibes from that call. Because I asked Benaja, I was like, look, like, you're the vet on this team now. Are you going to do any like New York activities with the newbies? And she kind of just went, are you trying to come?
I love that she invited you.
I know. It totally threw me off guard. I was like, what? Me? What?
Lots of great vibes.
And then her and Kayla just started like giggling with each other. So it was like, it was a great, great vibes for sure. My second last question, who are some players that you think deserve some extra love going into the season? Because obviously we're going to get coverage of like some of the bigger stars, but is there anybody that's like maybe flying under the radar a little bit that you think we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I spent so much time in February, March in Dallas, participating in AU and just getting to see some of those players play. One player at the top of mind is Crystal Bradford. We haven't seen her play in about a year. She missed last season due to an injury, and now she's back with the Los Angeles Sparks, and she's in training camp fighting for a roster spot. But what I saw at AU really just got me excited to want to see her in the WNBA. She's a great two-way player. She kind of does everything on the floor that other people wouldn't do, the things that you don't really see. And so I'm excited to see her just come back and just get a footing into the WNBA should she make the final roster in LA. Alicia Gray is someone I'm also excited to see, another AU rookie this season. She played a lot with Naz Hillman in AU, so they've already got a jump start in terms of building that team chemistry. But I'm excited to see her play again because she was on the cusp of being an all-star last year. And so I feel like coming back into the league this season, especially on a new team, she probably feels like she has a chip on her shoulder. I know she said one of her goals is to get better on the defensive end. And it's like, you're already great on defense. yeah, I'm excited to see her play. She averaged 13 points, four rebounds last season. And I think that she's going to make an immediate impact on this young core that's forming in Atlanta. I'm excited to see how she fits in with Ryan Howard, Cheyenne Parker, Ari McDonald, like all of those players. I really like what Atlanta is doing, especially with how they drafted this year with getting Haley Jones and Letitia. So I'm super excited to see, you know, just all the pieces come together as the season approaches. And then if I had to choose a sleeper team, which is not really a sleeper team, but no one is talking about the Washington Mystics as a whole. And I really like what Tebow's put together in terms of, you know, trading the draft pick and getting some future draft picks just to think about the future. Elena Deladon is back, and rumor has it that she's feeling better than ever. She's feeling like her old self. And we know when EDD is healthy, she's in her bag. And so excited to see her and just all of the new additions. I mean, the Mystics are the top defensive team, and we know that they had to address like the shooting issues. And I think that they somewhat did that. And obviously players will have to step up, but I think that they can really be the underdogs to win. I know everyone's like, it's the Aces or Liberty, no one else, but you know, keep your eyes on the Mystics as they come in 2023 and try to, you know, repeat winning a championship.
That EDD and Shakira Austin front court. Yes, I mean,
exactly. And they just acquired Emily Engstler. Her off her waivers. And so she adds another great piece when we talk about, you know, great defensive players or players that can help off the bench. I mean, the Mystics are right there and no one is talking about them. And I mean, it's mind-boggling how people were counting them out and they have Elena Deladon. That's number one.
Maybe they like that. Maybe they're like, okay, let me fly under the radar so we can like shock everybody.
Right. And then you add Brittany Sykes, one of the best defensive players, Amanda Zawibi, who's going to be a great center off the bench, who's versatile, who can shoot threes. Like, why are you guys not talking about the Mystics? And just like, they have depth. They have depth. And so I think that people need to pay attention to them.
Absolutely. I know I'm excited. I can tell you're excited. Yeah, don't worry. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about them. But lastly, what can we expect to see from you and your work for this upcoming season?
Lots of exciting work coming up. First, if you're not following Girls Talk Sports TV on Twitter or Instagram, make sure you do that. This season, I will continue to rotate on MSG networks across their sports betting program, so you can watch the Betting Exchange and the Better Half Hour this summer. I'll be contributing on there and just many other shows. I'm on SNY TV, the New York Post. I'll be giving you all the scoop from New York, the New York Liberty and training camp and doing season previews. So I'm all over the place, but make sure you follow all of those things. And, you know, I'll do my best to keep you updated.
Awesome. Guys, Christina, thank you so much for joining me today. And I'll make sure everybody has the info to follow you and your work, because you're probably one of my favorite creators in this space, one of the most important voices in the WNBA and women's basketball. So thank you so much for joining me again on Hoop Talks.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. That means so much coming from you, and continue to do great work. You're killing it.
Thank you. All right, guys, we will see you next week on Hoop Talks.
Breaking news in the NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks fire head coach Mike Budenholzer. We talk about what this means for Milwaukee and if he could be a fit in Toronto today on Hoop Talks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, fellas and fellerinas. I'm Noor Zainab, Karina Mustafa. Don't look at me like that, Justin Pooney. And we're here on Hoop Talks. Again, everything in the NBA never stops. The mill keeps churning. And the latest report is Mike Budenholzer has been let go of his duties in Milwaukee. This comes maybe not as a shock since the Bucks lost to Miami 4-1 after being heavy favorites in that series. And we know Bucks, we know they have been a regular season team with Mike Budenholzer at the realm of everything. They posted the most combined regular season and playoff wins of any team during his tenure. He coached the Bucks for 5 seasons, and they had the league's best record in 3 of those 5 seasons. But they only won 1 championship during that tenure, and they had the MVP Giannis through that thing. So I gotta ask you guys, having let go of Mike Budenholzer now, how much blame does he face for the playoff shortcomings when it comes to Bucks, Karina?
This is why you gotta
add the name in there.
Yeah.
I have to direct the conversation because if not directed, Justin's like, oh, free for all. This is mine. I'm like, Karina.
Sorry.
I just thought I assumed you would throw it to me right away.
Are you joking? You just grabbed it.
Okay, sorry. I will answer now. That totally threw me off. I think it's tough because they did win a championship, which is very impressive. I think Bud is a really good coach. He's going to find work wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
I think the timing of it is also a bit weird with, like, he had somebody close to him pass away recently. It's interesting to think about, like, what are the lines there? Like, what is acceptable and what isn't? But at the same time, 1 championship is impressive. Having a good regular season record is good, but also if you think about, like, the Raptors, like, remember when they had were with Dwayne Casey and they reached like 60 wins and still weren't able to do anything? So I think that doesn't really hold as much weight. So maybe it was the right time. My only question now is, like, who are you gonna go get that is better?
Nicky Nurse, baby.
He is available, but even to you, Justin, I gotta say, if you look at his tenure with the Bucks and you break down the winning and losing percentage of the playoffs in the regular season, it kind of makes sense. And you see that, yeah, he was amazing when it came to the actual playing of the games in the regular season, but the playoffs, not really, because in his tenure, 271-120 wins regular season, but the playoffs, 39-26. It's a bit of a drop when you're looking at the postseason.
Yes. When I look at Mike Budenholzer and him and the Milwaukee Bucks deciding to, he got fired, but they mutually decided to part ways or whatever, the nice PC thing.
Well, didn't they say they dismissed him?
They dismissed him, yeah, but it did it in like a nice way.
Better than can't come back under any circumstances.
But hey, Dylan Brooks' agent said that Shams is a weirdo for saying that, which is kind of interesting.
Well, of course his agent is going to say that.
Anyway, staying on track with the Milwaukee Bucks here.
Justin.
They're in a really, really interesting position right now. Giannis has got 2 years left on his deal before he gets a player option, and he's only going to be 31 when that player option hits, right? So it's very interesting. Chris Middleton's a free agent. Brook Lopez is a free agent. So, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, there could be a situation where if they don't nail this head coach that Giannis wants, right, could he be like, okay, well, you know what? I won a title here. I've done everything I could to Milwaukee. I stayed. You know, I won a championship. It's now time for me to try something else, try something different, right? That, to me, is very crucial because Giannis is a player that I think wants to, we know he's an all-time great, right? He's cemented himself with his title as an all-time great. He's the best player on planet Earth right now. But you saw in that series, right? What was the biggest telling thing, of course, everybody remembers the failure quote he gave at the end of the season, right? The famous quote, Nike turned it into an ad and all that stuff, and it's blown up. But the other thing he said was, they asked him, do you wish you guarded Jimmy Butler more? And he said, that's basically the coach's decision. Kind of throwing Mike Budenholzer under the bus, right? And I think when I heard that, I'm like, okay, this might be the end of Mike Budenholzer in Milwaukee, because yes, they won that championship, but other than that, they blew a 2-0 lead to Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals, got beat by Miami in the bubble, got, you know, beat by Miami again this year. This is the prime of Giannis's career. The next 3 to 4 years, you really need to make sure you win at least another title, right? And I think they have to get younger. They're going to have to get a coach in that basically is like, to Giannis, I want you to guard the best player. I want you to do this and that. And the thing is, Drew Holiday's come out and said that, you know, he wants to might retire once his contract is up. So
did he actually?
Yeah, he's came out and said that he might retire if his contract is up. So it's very interesting what's going to go on in Milwaukee. I think they need to go to Giannis and be like, okay, who do you want as head coach? And I know people don't want to think that that doesn't happen and all of that. It does. When you have a guy who's this good, who's this great, you need to have him put his input in, right? And have him decide, okay, I want this guy to be the coach because he's going to bring the best out of me and in turn bring the best out of the team. So that, to me, is the biggest thing in Milwaukee. As for Mike Budenholzer, look, he's going to find work anywhere. He's going to have his choice on where he wants to go. I know everybody's saying Toronto, but does he want to come to Toronto?
Yeah, let me bring that up myself. Thank you so much. But
I'm just lobbing it up.
Well, but I like something that you brought up that I want to talk about here right now too, which I'm in agreement with you when it comes to don't give me that face. I'm in agreement with you when it comes to Giannis is that guy. When you're that level of a player, your input matters the most when it comes to any changing decisions within the franchise. Mm-hmm. But then you said that he came out and he said that I was wondering why I wasn't being put on Jimmy Butler, but that's the coach's decision. Shouldn't your influence at that moment also come into play, Karina, because you're the best player on the court? So maybe you should go to your coach and be like, Karina, you should go to your coach and be like, why am I not guarding Jimmy Butler, instead of being like, okay, well, that's what the coach says, what the coach said.
Let me ask you, because this happened before too. This happened before when they played KD. Sorry, Karina. I know.
Are you sorry?
All right, fine. Go.
You got two women here, Justin.
It's okay. I have something short, then you can go. I think my take on that is that ultimately, I think no matter what Giannis says, Coach Bud still would have had the final decision on that. So, like, we don't really know what happened there. But it is interesting that he said that. But he is also right. Like, ultimately, it is the coach's decision.
Yeah, and I think, like, Giannis, this happened before with Kevin. Oh, sorry, before I cut you off, I was going to say that the same thing happened
I let you speak.
I know, but same way I cut you off before. So, look, we'll just get back on track, all right? But he said the same thing when they played the Nets in that series, was it 2021 when they won, yeah, right? 21. You know, people were like, I want Giannis to guard KD. And Giannis said, look, the coach's decision, right? Mm-hmm. Again, the dynamic was kind of interesting because now Giannis, you know, under Budenholzer, we saw Giannis really grow into becoming that best player in the league, right? And maybe he never felt comfortable to take authority over that. But now he's cemented himself as the best player on planet Earth. He's a two-time MVP defensive.
Like, if you look at, let's look at Kawhi, right? We were down 0-2 to the Bucks, and we're coming back home and talking about what the adjustment needs to be. And he speaks up in the locker room and he said, the only adjustment is I'm guarding Giannis. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, the best player on the court is telling you that I know what I'm doing and I'm going to override the coach in that moment. As an MVP, I would just assume, like, of course, Bud is a great coach. But if you have an MVP caliber player on your team and we also know he's a defensive nightmare, why are you not going to use him? And maybe this is something that's going to be linked between Budenholzer and Nick Nurse beyond the fact that they were the two coaches that were fired this year who had also recently just won championships. And if you look back, and Ty Lue won in 2016, got fired in 2018. Frank Vogel won in 2020, got fired in 2022. Nick Nurse, 2019, fired 2023. Budenholzer, 2021, and then fired in 2023. So it made me wonder, winning a championship, does that now put more pressure on you to win again? And does that give a franchise a reason to let go of you if you don't meet those expectations? It's interesting because you're looking at teams around the league that don't make the contendership, but they're a consistent playoff team, but those coaches stay intact. Mm-hmm. But when there's a bigger team that's contending constantly, and if they miss the window 1 year, now everyone's talking about letting the coach go. So I wonder, like, is your job security worse if you're part of a contending team?
Here's the thing. I think there's two things. One, it's the roster of the team. And two, it's the relationship that the coach has with the players. At least that's the common denominator that I'm seeing in all these coaches who have been fired. Because if you look at the Bucks, yes, they did really well in the regular season. However, I don't think their team was well-equipped enough or athletic enough even to make a deep run in the playoffs this year. So not all of that is on coaching. We saw injuries to play a role into it. Two, the relationship with the players. As we saw with Nick Nurse, even though he won a championship with us in his first year as head coach, as the years went on, the relationship with Pascal Siakam, with some of the other players, kind of started to fizzle out. So I feel like even though these coaches are, like, are with successful teams, at some point things start to change, other teams in the league become better. And I think that's the part where you're like, okay, something needs to change. And I guess it does fall on the head coach. But if you're going to fire the head coach, you also need to make changes to the roster that you have available. Because I think also, sorry, not to have such a long answer,
no,
but
please continue.
even with the Bucks, I think whatever they decide to do with the roster will also impact the head coach that they hire next.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at those all those championship winning coaches, Steve Kerr, he has the best team of the decade. Right, he's got, and the nucleus is there, and it was there before he got there. Right, Klay, Steph, Draymond were there with Mark Jackson all the way through to Steve Kerr. Yes, he had Kevin Durant and stuff like that, but the infrastructure was there already. Mm-hmm. Right, you look at the Raptors; that core was there before Nick Nurse got there. Right, those were Dwayne Casey's guys that he elevated to win the championship. Plus, of course, Kawhi. Mm-hmm. You look at the Lakers; the Lakers one is different. Right, Frank Vogel was brought in, brought defense. They won the bubble title, but after that, after they won the title, they fell off a cliff, right? And there was, of course, when you have LeBron James, that accelerates your, you know, time frame to win, and you need a different voice. And once he lost the locker room, it was done, right? So I think the biggest thing about this is, it's, I don't know if it's pressure, it's more so just the fit in the locker room and the messaging. Once the messaging gets stale and players tune you out, it's over. You got to switch on to do something else. And that's how, you know,
it's leadership. Everything leadership in life that we've seen is all about leadership. And this is how Nick Nurse lost the locker room. And we're going to bring this actually back to the Raptors, because everything goes back to the Raptors. Got to tie back into it. Now, Budenholzer is available. We are without a head coach. How do you see Masai Ujiri reacting to this news with Budenholzer being available and Toronto needing a head coach? Could he become part of the candidates that he has on his list already?
For sure. I think he's definitely, maybe he'll get an interview. Again, it's depending on, you know, if he wants to. Again, we've seen Ime Udoka say, no. Becky Hammon, not really that interested.
Not talking about them boys.
Yeah, not talking about them boys. It's, again, it's up to candidate if they want to interview with the Raptors, right? I still think
think the coaches actually hold all the power when it comes to the Raptors right now,
because they can turn it down. Like Mike Budenholzer, he can get a job anywhere. Yeah. If he really wants to, right? And maybe probably he might just want to take a step back from coaching for a bit, and mm-hmm. just like you said, you mentioned he had a tragedy in his family, maybe he wants to take a year off and then reassess his options. We don't know, right? Yeah. So
but in terms of his fit, like, and when I think about it, I'm like, absolutely, this team's gonna be a regular season nightmare, but it's gonna be a first round exit every single year, and we're gonna be clawing our ears and eyes out. So I don't even know, do I want to be a first round exit and have a good regular season, or do I just want to not win at all?
And also, the personnel attractive enough in Toronto for coaches to want to coach these players?
You just
right?
keep going back to who even wants to come to Toronto, huh? Who even wants to be here? We know what you think, okay, Justin? But Karina, I want to ask you, as you're actually a Toronto Raptors fan, for the next head coach, yeah, you are. Compared to him, I think we're all pretty.
Yeah, I'm a Raptors fan.
But for the next head coach of the Raptors, each person out there the Raptors have been thinking about interviewing holds a specific skill set. Mm-hmm. What's something that you think the next coach for the Raptors should be prioritizing when it comes to this team and their future?
Development and playing the younger guys and spreading out the minutes, because like, you can't run your starters into the ground. I'm sorry, especially when your starters are not good enough. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. You need to go and acquire better starters, so that you can actually have a more complete roster that you can do more stuff with and experiment with, because right now the Raptors are not in a place to be in contention, and they're in that kind of experimentation phase, building around Scotty as well. Maybe Fred, we'll see what happens. But I think you need an open-minded coach that is willing to play around with the roster that they end up getting.
It really depends on what Masai wants. Does he want to develop young players? Does he want to compete for a title, right? That to me is the biggest thing, right? I'd love for the Raptors to go young and rebuild, but then a lot of these coaches here, does Mike Budenholzer want to coach young players, right? Does Kenny Atkinson want to coach young players, right? Do they want to do a rebuild, right? So it all depends on what Masai wants, the direction of the organization they want to go in, mm-hmm. which we still don't really know, mm-hmm. right? And it depends on the personnel they have around, right? I'd love for them to go young and rebuild to the draft. I don't know if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
It really just depends on what Masai wants and what direction they want to go.
I also don't know if I can take another coach turning us down right now. So I don't know if anybody else is watching. Let's make sure that the ones that we get and target and make rumors about actually want to be here. But this is what we do here. Any rumor mills out there, we will find a way to make them about the Toronto Raptors.